Okay, so today we are with Vinit and Anil from Information Security Tools. And today they are releasing the version 3.0 of the Anti-XSS library. So before we start, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us about you guys?
Yeah, I'm Vinit Bhatta. I've been a part of Microsoft almost like 3 years, worked with ACE Engineering and then part of Information Security Tools. I've been doing ACE code reviews, and I've been also been part of developing tools for this team, starting with threat modeling analysis tool, now working on risk tracker, and in between I worked on anti-XSS library.
Hi, this is Anil Ravuru. People also call me RV. I work with Vinit on the Information Security Tools team. You have probably seen me on the threat analysis and modeling video. I worked on the anti-XSS library. Today I will go over some of the features and walkthroughs with Josie.
Great. So give us a quick description of what the Anti-XSS library is and how it fits under the SEL and the SELLB.
Yeah, so anti-XSS stands for anti cross-site scripting library. So this is an encoding library which is used by the developers to protect their web ASP.NET web applications from cross-site scripting attacks. So basically, this library is based on the principle of whitelist, which is also referred to as principle of inclusion. And what this means is that we define a safe list of characters, and anything outside that safe list is encoded before it's sent to the browser. So basically, it results in a safe output to the browser, and the users are protected against cross-site scripting exploits.
As this is a library, as Vinit said, it is part of the standard HDLC implementation phase or HDL implementation phase where developers take this library and use in their development to encode the output of the web applications.
So this library has been out there for a while, so can you give us some history behind it? I know this is version 3, so some history behind it and how it has helped the development phase.
Yeah, so this library has been out for almost like 5 years, and over the years, many application teams and developers have actually benefited from using this library. It was out like 1.0, then we released subsequently 2.0, and more recently we're going to release 3.0, and gradually we have added features to it, and this time one of the biggest additions is Security Runtime Engine, which we will talk about in sometime later. And I think this will continuously help the development community to actually protect their applications from cross-site scripting attacks.
And you might have noticed that the Anti-XSS library was first released externally in 2006 with the version 1.5. It was released with ASP.NET in conjunction with the ASP.NET team as a .NET encoding library.
Great. So version 3.0 released today. What are some of the new features compared to older versions?
Yeah, so we made some good enhancements in 3.0. To start with, now in 3.0 we have an extended whitelist, which is not only confined to English, and we also did exhaustive performance tests on this library. So we're expecting a really good response from the development community that the library really performs at par with the framework methods. We have added a couple of new methods. I'll dig more detail into those. Then another big thing is the documentation, the help file, is at par with the MSDN style documentation. So you would see examples in C Sharp, you would see examples in VP.NET, you would see examples in even JavaScript. So I mean, it's very easy to understand and use this time around. And another thing we have added this time is a test bench. It basically helps you estimate the performance and the validation in your environment rather than relying on our results. So you have real-time data at your end on your development servers and production servers. And lastly, we have added another feature called Mark NTXSS Output, which is basically a color encoding. I'll talk more about that in detail. It basically helps developers and testers to know that what parts of their page have been encoded by NTXSS and which are not encoded. So it's a kind of a sanity check for testers that, okay, this page is being rendered and what portions of the page are being encoded by TXSS library. SRE, RB?
This time we added a new engine called SRE, Security Runtime Engine. Mm-hmm. It's a automated way of applying the encoding on the page that basically makes sure that your application is protected from cross-site scripting attacks. Now, the SRE doesn't need any changes. It's actually a HTTP module that you just need to configure your web application for, and it will protect your application. And as because of zero code change, it also has very low impact on the performance, and this directly uses the core library. So the SRE, in fact, is kind of a wrapper on top of the core library, which basically, you know, doesn't impact a lot on the performance. And similarly, the MARC antitax output feature is also implemented by SRE, where if you enable the MARC antitax output in the configuration, it will automatically show you all the places where the encoding has been applied. You can control all this encoding using the configuration file that is supplied with the module.
Yeah. In fact, I used SRE module in one of my internal applications where we were like short on time. Rather than going and fixing those bugs inline in the code, just go ahead and deploy SRE module. It saves tons of time, and you get the security what you want in an application.
Wow, that sounds good. So the SRE is something new added on on top of this version. Great.
Correct.
So it seems like it's a lot of features. I'd like some more details on that.
Yeah, I can start with the whitelist. So this time we have an exhaustive whitelist, and it covers like more than like 12 to 15 languages, which is like Arabic, Hebrew, Chinese, Korean, Japanese, and many of the Indic languages. So this with extended whitelist, we are able to gain a couple of benefits: better performance. We were able to prevent the bloating of HTML stream in case of NTXSS being used in websites which emit non-English content. So that was a big plus for us. And then this time, as I said, we did a lot of exhaustive performance tests. And one of the results of those performance tests was that our library was almost at par, as good, if you were to use framework methods. So we don't expect people to come back and say that, okay, we're not going to use NTXSS library, it's degrading their performance. This is not going to be the case this time. And we added a couple of methods, new methods. I'll talk about one of them. Is we're given an code page support to one of our encoding methods called URL encode. So basically, if you pass in the code page, it will emit the output, the encoded output based upon that code page. So if you're kind of using the input shown in a Japanese browser, it helps you there.
Okay.
And as I talked about MSD in style help, it's very easy to understand. It has examples. It has performance data sheets as a part of it. And it also gives you examples on what and how MARC NTXSS feature will result in an output. Another feature I'll talk about is the test bench. The test bench is actually broken up into two sub-features. One is called performance bench, and the other one is called XSS validation bench. Correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So the performance bench is that if you run that bench in your environment, it has a sample test of input strings. So it will give you an output saying, okay, let's say a length of 50 characters. How much time did it take to actually encode those 50 characters? It can be like 0.1 or 0.3 milliseconds. So you run it in your environment. Similarly, we have a XSS validation bench, which basically lets you understand that, okay, if this was the input, what will be the output?
Okay.
So you can even modify that input. It's in a very simple text file. So that's how it runs. And lastly is the MARC NTXSS output feature. So this feature is about encoding your output in such a way that you can visually distinguish on a web page
this
output is coming as a result of encoded output from NTXSS library, and the other one is normal. It helps the developers. One more thing I would like to talk about is this version of NTXSS library runs both on 32-bit machines and 64-bit machines. You do not need separate installers. You do not need to install separate libraries at all.
Great.
So it's go to one location, download it, use it wherever you want.
Awesome.
So as I was previously telling you about the new addition, the security runtime engine, it's a HTTP module, and it's like an add-on on top of your application, which makes it easy for you to use, and doesn't require any code change. It can be enabled in two simple steps. You know, with the installer, we provide you the default configuration. The configuration contains the list of all controls that need to be encoded. Take that configuration, put it in your web application, take the module binaries, put it in the bin folder, and enable the SRE module. And we also made sure that the SRE module works both in the IIS 6.0 and 7.0, with also in the integrated pipeline mode too. So whether it is a classic .NET app pool or the integrated pipeline mode, it should work fine. Also, the configuration file is a simple XML file where you can say, this is, this is a label control and the text property which needs to be encoded. So in a sense, what SRE does is SRE, before your page gets rendered onto the browser, it goes to this configuration file, checks whether these controls are present on your page and whether these properties are being used, and it'll automatically encode the data present in those properties. For example, the most common control that has cross-site scripting vulnerability in .NET is label control. And labels controls text property, to be specific. Now, by definition, the .NET framework itself is not vulnerable, but the usage of that makes it vulnerable in your web application. So, for example, if you have uncontrolled user input going in there, it could cause that cross-site scripting vulnerability. So, SRE takes that, checks whether if you have any label controls on the page, and checks if you have any data in the text property, encodes them. SRE also has built-in mechanism where it can detect if you have already encoded the data, and it will ensure that it's encoded only once and that prevents the double encoding problem or messy characters on the page. And this time with the installer, we included a sample application which shows you all the configuration that you need to do, how you need to enable it, and ensure that you are doing it the right way, so that your application is protected at runtime.
Yeah, and I think it also shows you if you want to exclude some controls on a page, exclude some pages in your application where this SRE module should not take effect, it actually gives you all those examples.
Correct. So you have configuration-based exclusion. So as Vinny's saying, if there is, for example, if you have a page with the static data or static controls where user input is not being used, you can always exclude that page by configuration. Just go and change the configuration.
Great. So I hear the word, performance, automated, saving time. I mean, it sounds like it's a more robust library. And as you said, Vinit, like, there is no reason why we shouldn't use it. I mean, it's helping you implement a safer application. How big has been the adoption of the anti-XSS library, inside of Microsoft and outside?
So as I said, anti-XSS library has been around for almost like 5 years, and now it's been part of the SDLC. So any application that gets developed in Microsoft has to use anti-XSS library. And if they don't, they have to get an exception for that. So that's one thing. And second is, it is one of the only recommendations which we make, which will make your application secure, and that is they have to use anti-XSS library for protection against cross-site scripting. And I think going forward, all production applications, Ari can talk about, SRE should be used to protect their application if they're not going to make any code change.
Yes, internally, that's a recommended mitigation as per SDL. Also, SRE going forward, if you have an application that is already in production and if it has a cross-site scripting vulnerability, by definition, you should start putting SRE in your production box to stop the immediate bleeding of the attacks. Secondly, externally, we have seen a lot of buzz around anti-cross-site scripting library. In fact, there was there were many people who are actually porting our library to Java and PHP, and many companies have made our library a standard recommendation in their SDL-like processes.
Wow.
It's a huge impact over the years, and I think the impact is likely to grow even to a larger extent in the next couple of months and years, you know.
No, I see, and it's already recognized as part of the SDL process, and
yep.
I mean, that's what everybody is into nowadays, you know,
yep.
making our applications secure, and
yep.
and it's part of it. So I can tell that it's already robust, and
yep.
I like the idea that now we have solutions for already in production applications. So
yep.
I think that was the next step. So where else do you guys see this library growing into?
In the coming future, we are taking a different approach in terms of protecting web applications.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have a good robust library for cross-site scripting vulnerabilities, we want to start focusing on other types of vulnerabilities. Most common web application vulnerability is SQL injection vulnerability. So we are looking to come up with automated ways to either fend off the SQL injection attacks or provide some kind of mitigation around those. And secondly, we are looking at other attacks like file canonicalization attacks or XPath injection attacks, where these attacks could be detected at your web application layer and could be mitigated. I mean, most of the mitigations are already part of the standard .NET library and also the anti-XSS library, where we provide the XML encoding for XPath expressions. So at this point, we're looking at more automated ways to detect these. So you will see more additions to SRE,
yeah.
Potentially, which will be in form of this new library called a Web Protection Library. So your folks, users will be probably the first people to know that the next version of the anti-access is being called Web Protection Library.
And honestly, I mean, there's so many variations of cross-site scripting attack. If you use this, you not only prevent a cross-site against so many variations also, so it's always a win-win for the customers and the end users and the development community to use this library and the SRE module going further.
Great. Thank you, guys. I know you guys are working on so many tools at a time. I was
yep.
talking about threat modeling one day, anti-access the next, and SRE is the big hit now. So I know you're busy. Thanks for taking the time to sit with us, and I look forward to a successful release.
Most welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.